streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Senate negotiators released the text of a $118 billion immigration policy reform bill that includes military assistance to Ukraine, Israel, and the Indo-Pacific.
It includes $20 billion for immigration enforcement, the hiring of thousands of officers, new limits on how migrants apply and get asylum, and increased screenings for fentanyl and other drugs. The bill would also allow the Homeland Security Department the option to shut down the border if migrant crossings reach a certain level.
ABC's Ike Ajachi. States of emergency in effect in Southern California. An atmospheric river storm bringing heavy rain and hurricane-force wind. This one expected to last 2 to 3 days. Wildfires continue to tear through central Chile. At least 112 people have been killed, and that is expected to go higher. Firefighters have yet to reach the hardest-hit areas. More than 1,000 homes burned. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two redistricting experts are throwing out two proposed sets of legislative maps drawn by Republicans, but they're not endorsing any of the remaining four proposals, all drawn by Democrats, liberal groups, or university professors. The experts were hired by the state Supreme Court as part of the justices' plan to redraw Wisconsin's political maps. New maps need to be in place by March 15th. The state Supreme Court will hear a lawsuit filed by Governor Tony Evers that the Republican-controlled legislature is obstructing basic government function. Evers filed the lawsuit after legislative leaders blocked funding for a number of state conservation programs and delayed in approving pay raises for University of Wisconsin employees. Evers argues that committees controlled by just a few Republican lawmakers are giving the legislature more power than the state constitution allows. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks hit a sour note against the Jazz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing in Utah, 123-108. The Jazz ending a three-game losing streak with a rally in the fourth quarter against Milwaukee. Doc Rivers on facing Utah's best defenders.
We anticipated it, but we thought we could make enough shots to keep their bigs off the floor. We just couldn't.
Rivers, by the way, named the head coach of the NBA's Eastern Conference team in the All-Star game later this month. In Madison, the Badgers battled but lost to number 2-ranked Purdue 75-69. Wisconsin's Greg Gard asked if he still thinks they're one of the top teams in the nation.
Yeah, I think we're one of the best teams in the country. You know, there's parity across college basketball. You know, I've seen a lot of them now and played against a lot of the non-conference ones. And you want to compete with the best with the goal that you want to be the best. You know, it's not just about playing with them. You want to conquer them.
NFL, the Packers have hired former Rams and Vikings quarterback Sean Mannion to serve as an assistant coach on offense. Tom Clements, who turned 71 this year, is expected to continue as the quarterback's coach. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start, and it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org, a message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 47 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northeast at around 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop to 30 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunshine, 51 on Wednesday. Mostly cloudy with a high of 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now, it's 25.
Earl Ingram.
Sandy. People are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers.
There are a lot.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah.
I
mean, we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't
know. Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The AM The Zone. Connecting producers and consumers one story at a time. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Come on in on a wonderful Monday. Good morning, everyone. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. You know, you can't help but commiserate with the poor folks on the West Coast, California, getting washed away over the weekend, and a lot of severe weather on the East Coast as well. Here in Wisconsin, we are seeing above normal temperatures all week. We'll talk about the details with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist. But let me tell you, partly cloudy skies are on the way today. We should touch out around 42 degrees. Tomorrow, 47. Wednesday, 49. Thursday, possibility of afternoon showers, 54 are expected high. Friday, 47. I'm going to have to talk to Stu and find out what our highs are for this time of the year normally. And are there records to be broken this week? Stick around for that chat. It's coming up in about 10, 15 minutes or so. Stephanie Hoff is going to bring us an update from the state capitol. A lot of conversations going on about affordable health care for farm families all across the state. A couple different plans that are being discussed. She'll share with us some of the ideas about Badger Care on the way. And if a farm in Wisconsin wants to expand, doesn't matter what kind of farm, they're going to need some partners. They're not going to be able to go it alone. That's especially true if you're a dairy operation. I'm talking with Tim Baumgartner, who's a new staff addition for Edge Dairy Cooperative. All he's going to do is focus on the regulatory hoops that farms have to jump through to try to expand. We'll get a little insight on that process coming your way.
Innovation, that's BioVet. Livestock producers rely for microbial and nutritional support, keeping livestock eating and productive. Make BioVet your trusted partner for your livestock health since 1991. Learn more at biodashvet.com. Innovation, that's BioVet.
We're exploring farming in the last frontier. Alaska. Come and join us. Hi, everyone. I'm Pam Yonke. The date's August 22nd through September 1st. We'll visit a variety of Alaska farms, including a private boat excursion to experience a shrimping operation. Of course, you'll get all the majestic scenery and impressive wildlife along the way. Visit holidayvacations.com, keyword Pam, for more information and to watch a travel video, or call 888-557-1020 today.
Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Modern technology has changed agriculture, no question about it, artificial intelligence and the things we can do with that, but sometimes it's back to basics. Let's get our fingers in the soil and see what works. Farmers for Soil Health is kind of along that line. Jack Cornell is with me, and Jack is with the United Soybean Board. Past life has been an agronomist, but Jack, tell us about the conglomeration or the organization of Farmers for Soil Health. What is it? Who's involved? How did it get started and when?
Yeah, so it was a bringing together of the corn NCGA, the soy checkoff, and pork checkoff got together and were like, let's work together on sustainability. What is that? I don't know. And so they actually, there was an opportunity that came along with the Partnership for Climate Smart Commodities, a grant, and we applied for that. We actually were awarded $95 million, and we needed a metric goal. What is that metric goal going to be? So we actually created, we want to double cover crops from 15 million to 30 million acre into 2030. And our vehicle to do that is to create a situation where we created 70 million of of those dollars are going directly to farmers to apply sustainable practices to their farm through cover crops, hopefully unlock additional conservation practices. Another $20 million is really focused on helping farmers unlock those dollars, but then also providing that technical assistance to help them with that transition to kind of how do I manage cover crops, with another $5 million to hopefully build out a platform and software programs and a place to build on future opportunities within a marketplace, right, where we're going to bring in buyers such as the General Mills of the world, the Walmarts of the world, to access farmers who are taking on these practices. So then farmers can actually sell their commodities raised under certain practices to these corporations and then get additional profitability on this. So we realize the cost share system is not a long-term play, but this marketplace will be, creating a scenario where farmers can be price makers, not price takers.
Let's talk first of all about that $70 million going to farmers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not just identifying farmers across the country and sending them a check.
Yeah, that's right.
They got to earn this. How does it start at the farm level to get some of that money?
So we're looking at growers who are new to cover crops, there's a $50 per acre cost share that descends over 3 years. So the first year is $25, $15 in the second year, $10 in the third year. And that's per acre. So farmers that have already adopted some of this practices, there's a $2 per acre cost share. But, you know, I often talk about, you know, well, $2 isn't a lot. But the opportunities for the marketplace are really key. And then also I tell guys is that those farmers that have already kind of figured out how to put those practices on their farm, they don't have that high level of risk that some of the guys that are new to it. And then hopefully there's that opportunity within the marketplace too. So it's kind of an incentive to kind of, hey, put some acres into this marketplace and go in there and explore. You know, once again, you don't have to do all your whole farm, right? You can just do 20 acres or 10 acres. It's really up to the farmer. It's a volunteer program for farmers to kind of go into the space and explore it and have the opportunities where it's a farmer-centric program that's de-risking some of these risks that farmers take. Sometimes these carbon programs, they have this high risk where, okay, you have to go soil sample. See, our program is practice-based. It's not carbon-based. So it provides this level of opportunity. Another unique opportunity is really who's overseeing this program. The commodity groups. And so we also have a farmer advisory group. And so it's a very farmer-centric. We're not going to produce a program that is detrimental to farmers. We're highly focused on helping farmers within the space.
Talk more about that, helping farmers, because the farmer's going to put these cover crops in. How can he prove that it's doing any good? The commodity organization will come along and then maybe provide a way for them to put this information on the market so they can make money. You mentioned Walmart as an offset possibly. Mm-hmm. They're not alone. They've got help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have technical assistance. So we actually worked, well, this program is actually working in 20 states, and we worked with those 20 state commodity groups who help guide how those technical assistance are being used in those states, right? And so sometimes it's a farmer advisory group. Sometimes it's working with the soil conservation district. Sometimes the state commodity groups just hired more staff, right? And so it's going to be unique experience across these 20 states, but those people are there to help you with this transition, and they're help you with all the elements within this program to unlock higher potential for profitability.
This is not the carbon market that we hear so much about. This is different.
Yeah, this is totally practice-based. You will have nobody showing up in your fields to soil sample to prove some carbon number did something. The verification step is done by satellites. There's a verification step where the satellites come over, they see there were some activities, then you essentially get paid. And if there's you have a bunch of cloud cover or something, there would probably be a follow-up email, hey, verification step where you say, hey, yes, it did happen. And then the other thing is if a farmer decides, hey, I don't want to do this anymore, there's no cancellation fee, there's nothing, there's no issues there. If you say, hey, I couldn't get planted because of the weather, we're not going to kick you out of the program either. We're very farmer-centric, and we understand the tangibles of the variability that farmers face, and we created a program that is farmer-focused and farmer-centric.
How far along are we with it, that first $70 million to the farmers? You mentioned $20 million for support and this, that, and the other thing. Where are we at as we end 2023, get into 2024?
So farmers can sign up right now. Obviously, we're past the point of where you can actually plant cover crops. But if you did, you can sign up now until the end of February. And so you can unlock those cost share now. We're actually in the current stages of rolling out in early spring the marketplace. So the marketplace isn't in place yet, but hopefully we have that those pieces. There's a lot of gears in that wheel, right? Because there's we got to work with the corporations, we got to work with farmer organizations, and building out that software platform. But hopefully by early spring we have that in place. But the other cool thing is if you miss this year, it's not a big deal. We have another sign up period next year, which starts March 1st, and then potentially there might be even a third sign up period.
Jack, what's been the response, not only from the farmers, but as you talk, you mentioned some major corporations here. Mm-hmm. What has been their thought on this? Is this something that they're looking forward to maybe offset some of the challenges they present to our climate?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that, if you think about 2 or 3 years ago, right? So everybody was trying to get carbon neutral, right? That was the buzzword. The issue that a lot of these corporations were facing was that all of a sudden they figured out, hey, I can't innovate my way to carbon neutral, right? I have trucks, I got planes, I got all these buildings that are using electricity. I can't innovate to carbon neutral. And so they've realized they have to work with the land sector to get that goal. And so we are the land sector. And so we've created an opportunity that is focused on us as a land sector and helping us maximize our benefits to this and then inviting them to come in. It's not the other way around where they're creating the system and then we have to play by their rules. This is our game and we're inviting them to come play.
I think one of the statements you made during your presentation were farmers have always been known as price takers. This is a situation where they will become price makers. They don't have to accept the offer from these major corporations. They can counteroffer and make real money.
That's right, yeah. So you can have different companies buying to buy your commodities, right? So you'll say you have the Walmarts, you have the General Mills, and they're competing for your ground. Your commodity is raised under certain practices. And so you can actually kind of dictate, and so you can actually negotiate within the platform the price that you want. And it's a really great scenario because it's not just like you sign a contract 3 years ago that says you have to trade at this amount. We don't do that. Ours is a year-to-year basis. And so the next year you can re-up and you can negotiate the next price for the next year, right? And so it's an opportunity for you to kind of play with it and not be stuck into some long-term contract.
As we look forward to coming up on 2024, the goal, 30 million acres of cover crops by 2030, where do you feel we are?
So we are going to rely on the USDA Ag Census data that comes out. The next one should come out in 2030. And the previous one where we're at 15 million acres of cover crops right now, that was actually from the 2015 Ag Census. So I think we're already, we're getting close, I think. You know, if I was to kind of put together kind of what I know and assess from, I feel like cover crops within North America are underassessed. Mm-hmm. For me, it's not really the metric goal of 30 million acres. It's really to give farmers enhanced profitability to take on some of these practices and providing that technical assistance.
One final question, Farmers for Soil Health, who do we access, commodity organizations, or who do we go at for farmers to find out more about this and get enrolled? As you mentioned, we're getting towards the end for this year, but there's next year.
FarmersForSoilHealth.com, very simple website. You can also talk to your state commodity organization, talk to your national commodity organization. Everybody's involved. We're all behind it.
FarmersForSoilHealth.com, Jack Cornell with the United Soybean Board. Very enthused about this, as I think a lot of farmers will also be enthused as this program grows and puts money in farmers' pockets. I'm Bob Bosold.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service.
Hey, everybody, this is Aaron from the Todd Albaugh Show, just letting you know that Todd will be back on Monday with a brand new show. So tune in then from noon to 2.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
We made it up. They had a good time, a lot of good people. They raised a lot of money, learned a few things. It was a very good weekend.
Nice, nice. Now, Green Bay is one of those areas facing freezing fog this morning. What else have we got out there? I mean, mild temperatures for the most part this week, but we got to get through this morning. Oh, we lost him. Got to get through this morning. That must have been the key that sent him away. We'll get Stu Muck back on the air here in a moment. Meanwhile,
with the Compeer Financial Patronage Program, we share earnings with member owners of our cooperative. It's our way of saying we are here. Here so you can pay down your loan faster or make a new investment in your operation. And that family vacation you've been putting off? Yep, we're here for that too. Learn more at compeer.com/patronage. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
You hear that? That's the sound of Dairyland Seed bringing the yield bigger and better than ever before. We're talking our best corn of all time, our strongest silage lineup ever, and the greatest soybeans in our history. We're talking a full lineup of seed proven to outperform the competition once again in independent head-to-head trials. See the performance data for yourself at showmetheyield.com. That's showmetheyield.com.
All right, let's find out about our Compeer Financial weather update. Like I said, freezing fog in Green Bay this morning, Stu. It's going to be a little touch and go in some areas around Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, that freezing fog pushes all the way down the lakeshore, too, believe it or not, Pam. In fact, this morning, we have a freezing fog advisory runs until noon, and it does include places like Fond du Lac and Sheboygan County, Dodge, Washington, Ozaukee, Waukesha, Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, Walworth as well. So don't be surprised in that eastern and southeast part of the state, you get out and find some very slick spots and stretches because that fog is frozen on, or it's going to freeze on the window on the vehicle and make it a little harder to scrape off this morning. But that fog is almost everywhere. Think about it. We warm up in the daytime, snow melt and the like, and then at nighttime it cools off and it freezes and condenses and comes right on back. That's what we're dealing with. Otherwise, an upper-level high-pressure center is trying to keep us dry. We hear about all the storminess and the rain out the West Coast. Low pressure will finally try to edge east by later this week. A cool front starts dropping in from the northwest later Wednesday into Thursday, and all of that's going to play together. So if we head toward the end of the week, Wednesday night, Thursday, some rain is going to become more of a likelihood, and I expect some rain chances holding around Thursday night into the day Friday. Oh, not inches like California, nothing like that. Could be a couple of tenths of an inch here or there, but wet weather as we move toward the end of the week. Still with those temps above normal, not freezing it up, but it's going to get a bit more on the wet side. Today, of course, fog, and that freezing fog advisory till noon in the east and southeast. Mostly cloudy skies after the fog tries to clear a bit. low 40s, a little warmer, mid 40s in western Wisconsin. North winds at 5, mostly cloudy, fog expected overnight, and temps down in the mid or upper 20s. Northeast winds at 5, fog early tomorrow, another mostly sunny day, brightening up, mid and upper 40s, could be low 50s in the west. The south winds at 5, and by Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Most of us around 50, more 50s further west, and south winds about 5 to 15.
All right, Stu Muck with our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial, your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compeer.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024 continues. Crudy lands in Las Vegas for the Nevada presidential primary, a competing GOP caucus, and all the build-up to Super Bowl 58. Tune in for special events broadcast live from the Vegas Strip. From Nevada primary Tuesday, February 6th through Super Bowl Friday, Crudy brings on the ground coverage from a swing state that helped Joe Biden win the presidency.
Viva Las Vegas!
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black history story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915, and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Senate negotiators released the text of a $118 billion immigration policy reform bill that includes military assistance to Ukraine, Israel, and the Indo-Pacific.
It includes $20 billion for immigration enforcement, the hiring of thousands of officers, new limits on how migrants apply and get asylum, and increased screenings for fentanyl and other drugs. The bill would also allow the Homeland Security Department the option to shut down the border if migrant crossings reach a certain level.
ABC's Ike Ajachi. States of emergency in effect in Southern California, an atmospheric river storm bringing heavy rain and hurricane-force wind. This one expected to last 2 to 3 days. Wildfires continue to tear through central Chile. At least 112 people have been killed, and that is expected to go higher. Firefighters have yet to reach the hardest-hit areas. More than 1,000 homes burned. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two redistricting experts are throwing out two proposed sets of legislative maps drawn by Republicans, but they're not endorsing any of the remaining four proposals, all drawn by Democrats, liberal groups, or university professors. The experts were hired by the state Supreme Court as part of the justices' plan to redraw Wisconsin's political maps. New maps need to be in place by March 15th. The state Supreme Court will hear a lawsuit filed by Governor Tony Evers that the Republican-controlled legislature is obstructing basic government function. Evers filed the lawsuit after legislative leaders blocked funding for a number of state conservation programs and delayed in approving pay raises for University of Wisconsin employees. Evers argues that committees controlled by just a few Republican lawmakers are giving the legislature more power than the state constitution allows. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks hit a sour note against the Jazz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing in Utah, 123-108. The Jazz ending a three-game losing streak with a rally in the fourth quarter against Milwaukee. Doc Rivers on facing Utah's best defenders.
We anticipated it, but we thought we could make enough shots to keep their bigs off the floor. We just couldn't.
Rivers, by the way, named the head coach of the NBA's Eastern Conference team in the All-Star game later this month. In Madison, the Badgers battled but lost to number two-ranked Purdue 75-69. Wisconsin's Greg Gard asked if he still thinks they're one of the top teams in the nation.
Yeah, I think we're one of the best teams in the country. You know, there's parity across college basketball. You know, I've seen a lot of them now and played against a lot of the non-conference ones. And you want to compete with the best with the goal that you want to be the best. You know, it's not just about playing with them. You want to conquer them.
NFL, the Packers have hired former Rams and Vikings quarterback Sean Mannion to serve as an assistant coach on offense. Tom Clements, who turned 71 this year, is expected to continue as the quarterback's coach. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 47 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northeast at around 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop to 30 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunshine, 51 on Wednesday. Mostly cloudy with a high of 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Temperature now 24.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black history story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. By working with my oncologist, we were able to determine the most appropriate treatment plan. My fear was I wasn't going to be here to see my children grow up. That gave me hope, knowing that I have that chance. And I did. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
The Todd Almost Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Almost Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
All, and now 1 year removed, Aaron Rodgers' Achilles, Packers and Jordan Love playing well down the stretch. Packers are 25-1. Jets are 30-1.
Wow, look at that.
Rough hands, dirty boots, and farming roots. It's all we know. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Boy, we hit it on the head there. Dirty boots this week for sure. Very mild weather around the state of Wisconsin. Not much in the way of precipitation till later this week, but it's going to be muddy. Today, partly cloudy skies, 42 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 47. Cloudy skies on Wednesday, 49. Thursday, some afternoon showers are possible. 54 are expected high. Even Friday, mostly cloudy and 47 before temperatures start to drop into the weekend. By middle of next week, we're going to be back right around the low to mid 30s. So definitely an interesting week coming up. Today is the fifth day of February. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1849, the University of Wisconsin officially opened. 20 students that were led by Professor John Sterling. Yes, like Sterling Hall. First class was organized as a preparatory school in the first department of the university, Department of Science, Literature, and the Arts. They had a lot of different coursework that they focused in on. Tuition was $20 per scholar per annum. University of Wisconsin officially opens on this day back in 1849. Let's see. On this day in 1869, the biggest gold nugget in history is found. It was in Australia. They called it the Welcome Stranger. It was calculated to be at a refined weight of 71.08 kilograms. I'm not sure if it's still the biggest, but it was then back in 1869. On this day in 1909, the world's first synthetic plastic is developed. A Belgian chemist announced the invention of Bakelite. A meeting of the American Chemical Society is where he announced it. First synthetic plastic on this day back in 1909. And happy birthday to race car driver Darrell Waltrip. He is 77 years young today. And now you know. So I gotta believe with these mild temperatures, a lot of you are getting an itchy finger, starting to run it through the seed catalog. Maybe already have the garden mapped out for 2024. Tell you what, that small plot of ground can be very, very productive. Just ask somebody that's dropped a bag of tomatoes off on the neighbor's front stoop how productive a small patch of ground can go. And I'll tell you what, that's great news for folks in southeast Wisconsin, actually statewide, that are battling food insecurity. The Hunger Task Force is located in southeast Wisconsin, but serves the state of Wisconsin. And you know what? They've got a plot of ground, too, that they're farming all to benefit the state of Wisconsin and those facing food insecurities. I talked about it with Sarah Bressler. She's the farm manager for the Hunger Task Force. 208 acres dedicated to trying to help the Hunger Task Force in the community of Franklin through a unique 30-year lease with Milwaukee County. They have access to that land. And Sarah Bressler tells me, despite the drought in 2023, wow, was it productive.
We were able to grow over 400,000 pounds with, like you said, those drought conditions. We had some record-breaking yields, specifically green beans grew over 23,000 pounds. Some of our other top-yielding crops that produced more than we actually projected were tomatoes. We grew over 15,000 pounds. Collard greens, which is the number one requested item in our food network sites, we grew over 20,000 pounds of those. Lettuce, over 15,000 pounds, and over 85,000 pounds of cabbage in 2023.
Now, I'm sure you're already looking ahead to the growing season of 2024, Sarah. How do you strategize what you plant when you plant it, and give us a little sense of how the farm evolves through the growing season.
That's a great question. So at the end of every season, we put out a produce survey to all of our network sites, which are made up of those food pantries, soup kitchens, homeless shelters, low-income senior sites, and we have over 200 in our network. So really wanting to get their feedback, because we really value their feedback about the quality, the quantity, the desired produce, what culturally appropriate items can we add to our list. So what do they want to see? So that's really part of what informs, our farm plan for the following season. We really take that input and apply it.
Do you have more than one crop that you're able to pull in a season on a piece of ground? Or if it's going to be tomatoes, is it only tomatoes? If it's going to be green beans, peas, it is only going to be that? Or do you have to kind of keep switching it up?
Yeah, absolutely. So that four-year rotation is really important, to really minimize that pest and disease issues that could occur, and then the weed control, the nutrient management. So we do that rotation of each particular field, having 24 different fields so that they're prime and they're full of nutrients and ready to go to be able to supply that nutrients to the, the actual fruit.
Sarah Bressler is along with us. She's a farm manager for the Hunger Task Force and their 208-acre farm location in Franklin. Let's talk a little bit more about community interaction on this fantastic, productive ground that you're working there, Sarah. Tell me a little bit about the harvest season around the farm and how you try to incorporate education along with that hands-on experience.
Absolutely. So we employ what is called succession planting, which means that we have five different successions of corn, for example, but then we stagger when we're planting that corn so that we have a constant flow of corn throughout the season so that we can supply that to our different food program sites. And the way that we're able to do all of this is through the help of the community volunteers that are so very vital to the program here and being able to do what we do.
Well, job well done in 2023, and we surely hope that 2024 is going to be equally productive for the Hunger Task Force farm in Franklin. What can people do to follow the story, Sarah, or become one of your valued volunteers?
Absolutely. So ways to help and support the farm and Hunger Task Force is come make an impact by, helping the community through volunteering. So you can go to sign up by going to hungertaskforce.org and clicking on the volunteer tab. Also, the farm relies on a generosity of the community to continue providing healthy, fresh produce to the hungry in Milwaukee. So an opportunity to take your support of the Hunger Task Force to the next level would be to be a part of our Adopt a Crop program. You could supply, $25 to provide 45 pounds of sweet corn to a local pantry, or $50 to grow 100 heads of lettuce for families in need, or $100 to provide 50 pounds of green beans to local seniors, or $250 to sponsor an acre of peppers of seed for the growing season. So many ways to get involved.
Pretty amazing. Sarah Bressler, she's the farm manager for the Hunger Task Force, serving Southeast Wisconsin, but really the entire state, and in part helped along by their 208-acre farm in Franklin. Like she said, it brought in record-breaking yields in 2023 that they're still distributing today. Want to find out more about how you can get involved or about the efforts in general? Go to hungertaskforce.org. Markets and overnight electronic trade this morning are a little bit mixed. We're going to take a look at your numbers next.
Innovation, that's BioVet. Livestock producers rely on BioVet for microbial and nutritional support. Keeping livestock eating and productive. Make BioVet your trusted partner for your livestock health since 1991. Learn more at biodashvet.com.
We're exploring farming in the last frontier. A Alaska. Come and join us. Hi, everyone. I'm Pam Yonke. The date's August 22nd through September 1st. We'll visit a variety of Alaska farms, including a private boat excursion to experience a shrimping operation. Of course, you'll get all the majestic scenery and impressive wildlife along the way. Visit holidayvacations.com, keyword Pam, for more information and to watch a travel video, or call 888-557-1020 today. Alrighty, this morning in Chicago, our markets are a little bit mixed. A lot of their cues coming from the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is lower this morning. March corn right now is down 2.5. December new crops unchanged, 476.5. March soybeans are down 1.5 cents, with November new crop up 1.5 cents, currently at 1172. July wheat's down 7 at 606. The fluid milk for both March and April currently unchanged. On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained 1 cent at 155. 40-pound block cheese was down 1¾ cents at 165. Double A butter unchanged, 274.5 per pound. But guess what? That's 13 cents stronger than it was the week before.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s, time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate, 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Upper 40s, probably close to 50 degrees, but don't get used to it and comfortable, because next week we're back down into the 30s. Still, it's good driving weather, which is wonderful news. Wisconsin potato and vegetable growers are having their annual conference. That's up in Stevens Point this week. Stephanie Hoff making tracks in that direction. And then I'll see folks later this week at Farm First Dairy Cooperative's annual business meeting. That's going to be in Wisconsin Dells. You know, one topic of conversation, regardless of what conference you're attending, what convention you're at, is healthcare. You know, when pocketbooks get tight on the farm, healthcare is one of the first areas that farms start really evaluating closely. But you know what? There's not a lot of options. But some of the state's largest general farm organizations are talking about it, trying to figure out a way to make it a priority in this legislative session. Right now, Wisconsin Farmers Union, for example, asking the state to expand badger care by accepting federal Medicaid expansion dollars. With that expansion, their hope is to reach more farmers. Stephanie Hoff reached out to some farms that gave us a unique perspective on the situation.
That's right, Pam. A farmer who would greatly benefit from Badger Care expansion is Dylan Bruce from Ferryville. He and his wife operate Circadian Organics and Driftless Seed. He's also president of his Vernon, Crawford County, Wisconsin Farmers Union chapter. Dylan tells me that because farming is such a unique business, he doesn't qualify for existing Badger Care. And because he's got a pre-existing condition, he's got to pay for expensive insurance.
Farmers are definitely in a unique position when it comes to health care. First of all, we're self-employed, and so we're not going to have easy access to health care through an employer. And actually, that's one of the things that drives a lot of farm families to get off-farm jobs so that they can access insurance, retirement benefits, etc. And we do have the public option of Badger Care in the state, but it has pretty stringent requirements. And in the case of a farm where your income might fluctuate year to year, seasonally within the year, you can be eligible and then not eligible for Badger Care on and off. And so it's really difficult to access kind of comprehensive care. For myself, I'm really passionate about this issue because I was diagnosed in 2020 with Crohn's disease. So I have a pre-existing condition. I have medicine that I have to take every month, likely for the rest of my life. On a cash basis, that medicine costs $7,500 a month. There's no way that I can afford that, right? So I am locked into buying insurance. I have to have insurance to afford the medicine that keeps me healthy, keeps me alive, keeps me out of surgery. And medicine is qualified as a specialty medicine. It's a specialty prescription, and so I can't even get an average healthcare plan. Badger Care would cover it very well. I can't access Badger Care because my household makes a little bit too much money just over that threshold, right? So that's why the expansion is important, is to let more people come in. I have to buy such an expensive plan in order to be able to afford my medicine. So it's not even that I'm, going to the doctor all the time. I just have to have that medicine on a monthly basis. And it's such a huge stressor for us. It's our second largest expense every month after the mortgage is insurance plus the premium on my medicine. And that's without even rarely visiting a doctor, So this is something I care a lot about.
Do other farmers in your circle, in your chapter, do they experience similar issues?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of luck of the draw, right? So there's definitely other folks in our chapter. We talk about healthcare fairly often as a policy issue for farmers. Farming is hard on your body. And so even folks that don't have a pre-existing condition or some acute issue they're dealing with, you get over time, you get to retirement age as a farmer, you're going to need robust healthcare that's available in rural spaces and places. And so it absolutely is an issue for a lot of other farmers, particularly around the fluctuating income and driving people to have off-farm jobs, driving people to say, I no longer have enough energy to keep my farm operating at its full capacity because I'm spending 10, 12 hours a day off-farm and can't get to those chores on time, whatever it might be. So it's absolutely an issue for a lot of folks.
So the first step would be to expand Badger Care by taking advantage of the federal offer. The second piece of this legislation then would create a actual health care plan under Badger Care. Can you speak to the details of that?
Yeah, so the public option for Badger Care is kind of like, if you put yourself in the shoes of somebody like me who we don't make a lot of money, but we are just make enough money to not be eligible for the regular Badger Care program. This legislation would basically make it that when we are going on the marketplace to choose our insurance plan, one of those options would be Badger Care, which I think, I see that as a lot better because there's not the conflict of interest of it being a private company that's trying to maximize profit out of my health care. So the Badger Care expansion will bring more money into it, make it more affordable for people who are already would be eligible for Badger Care, maybe be able to expand the requirements there. And then the public option is really treating it like regular insurance and not just something that you have to be absolutely broke to be able to access.
And on that note, he recognizes that some growers may see Badger Care as a handout, but he doesn't.
I think the sad reality for a lot of us as farmers is that social services do become important being in rural places, whether it's, you know, Badger Care or other options. This isn't a handout in the sense that this is something that's funded by us, by the people. And so it's maybe, you know, you could look at it as a handout, but I would like to think of it as a handout from me to my neighbor and from my neighbor to me. This is about us as a rural community and looking out for each other. And so it's more than just being dependent on handouts or something else. You know, some of us as farmers, we're not taking a lot of money back to the bank, you know, at the end of the year. And so we need to be able to access healthcare as well. You know, I do think there's no reason that we shouldn't be taking the money that's available from the federal government. Our legislature has chosen to take money for other issues like broadband or other things. So they're kind of picking and choosing what they want and leaving some of us behind with that.
Dylan Bruce along with us. He's a farmer out of Ferryville. He and his wife operate Circadian Organics and Driftless Seed, and he's a Wisconsin Farmers Union member. He supports the organization's push to expand Badger Care. Wisconsin Farmers Union is asking the state legislature to join the more than 40 other states that have accepted federal Medicaid expansion dollars. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The world's first ethanol to sustainable aviation fuel production facility is now open. Stay tuned for Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com.
This is a first-of-a-kind technology, first-of-a-kind facility that we are going to deploy across the country and across the globe.
That's Jimmy Samarsis, CEO of LanzaJet, at the recent opening of that company's new sustainable aviation fuel plant in Soperton, Georgia. Also there, Deputy Energy Secretary David Turk.
11% of our transportation emissions, and transportation is the largest segment of emissions in our country, 11% of that comes from aviation. That is an awful lot of emissions out there.
The idea is to cut the impact of those emissions by using greener alternatives than fossil fuels. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack was also at the plant opening.
If we're really to mitigate the consequences of a changing climate, the transportation sector clearly has to get to a net zero future. In order for it to get to a net zero future, aviation has to get there as well. And it can't get there without a sustainable aviation fuel.
Vilsack sees sustainable aviation fuel as a big market for ethanol from agricultural sources.
There ought to be multiple feedstocks in order for this market opportunity to be available all over the United States, not just in one or two regions of the country.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Hey, everybody, this is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. Just letting you know that Todd will be back on Monday with a brand new show. So tune in then from noon to two.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfheim. Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Listening to Lake Air,
WLAK 1260 AM Amory,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The water's rising.